dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carly Anna Billing.
Okay, and so I thought for our intro it would just be a casual intro.
Super casual.
Then how are people gonna know it's before there were hashtags and ghosts are everywhere?
They're gonna have to figure it out before ghosts were everywhere.
Welcome.
Okay. Welcome to this.
With that coherent sentence. Please use that. That can be our intro.
This is definitely our intro. Welcome, friends.
She already had hers.
Fit in.
Welcome to whatever this is. Woo, 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 woo. This is a crossover episode, baby.
What? Is that why I have a third person on my screen?
What the heck? That's why we can hear all three of our voices, and we just did a weird mashup of the titles of our podcasts collectively.
Before there were ghosts.
Before there were ghosts. Hashtags are everywhere. I mean, these are both
hashtag
true.
hashtag.
I'm dodging them right now
because podcasting is a visual medium, so my acting is really coming
Eric's
through the audio listeners.
Yeah, you can really see all of this, there's a lot of movement happening on screen.
Yeah, because I don't know if you know this, but a dancer dances, and Eric is a dancer.
A dancer dances.
That's all I can ever think in my brain every day.
Me too, always.
Of course, right? We should probably introduce ourselves better than we have so far to, you know, retain the listeners who have, you know, clicked on this bad boy today. I, dear listeners, will start introducing myself because I, not to toot my own horn, but I am the person that, you know, is the in-between. The reason why we're having a crossover and why two podcasts with two hosts only has three people in the room. I'm Carly and I am the co-host of Ghosts Are Everywhere and the co-host of Before There Were Hashtags.
Creepy Carly.
For this month over on Before There Were Hashtags, because we're doing a bit. And I am so glad to be here with two of my very best friends in the world who are both happen to be my co-hosts on the podcast. Wow. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Hi.
Introduce yourselves. They need to
my
know
name.
More.
Oh, okay. I was going.
Oh, sorry.
We're on Zoom, so there's going to be some overlap. I hope you're okay with that, listeners. My name is Eric Dallinger, or for the month of Spooktober, I've been calling myself Evil Eric. And I'm the co-host of Before There Were Hashtags, and I'm so excited to be here. I think I have probably been one of the most guested upon on, is that even a word, on Ghosts Are Everywhere. I've been there twice.
That's true. There's a few folks that have been there twice.
And I make a guest appearance in the 100th episode.
That's true.
Yes.
And now
this crossover. So
you are one of our most guests.
Guestiest guests.
Most
with the most, if you will.
Haunt or not.
We're doing that today. Yeah. That's what we did last time you were on the pod.
No.
This is
I enjoyed it too much.
Eric, this is a crossover. This is going out to both our audiences simultaneously.
Yeah. So I, as the co-host of Before There Were Hashtags, am entertaining the ideas of Ghosts Are Everywhere with Haunt or Not.
Oh god.
Are you gonna bring Haunt or Not onto Before There Were Hashtags? Is that a new feature?
No, not at all.
We did talk about it, I think, one episode.
We mentioned it because it's the dumbest thing in the world, but it's also amazing.
You didn't play it? You didn't think it was a high quality game that made a lot of sense?
Suddenly it's not a segment over on that show.
What? I thought it would really endear. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it really makes sense for a pop culture blast from the past podcast, for sure. Haunt or Not.
It really makes sense just in general. It makes a lot of sense.
Just in life, you know. Mm-hmm. And who are you, friend? Tell the listeners.
I'm Cecilia.
Yep.
Yep.
That's about it. Casey can't tell. Cecilia's jet lagged. Listeners of Ghosts Are Everywhere, we're sorry we haven't put out an episode in a few weeks. It's because Cecilia extended her trip to Europe because she was having just such a wonderful time. And
we were prepared for me to be gone for three episodes, and then I just never came back. I decided to come back just in time for this.
Right. Just in time to be just jet lagged enough.
To be just jet lagged enough. To have just arrived back in Canada 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yep. So, it hasn't even been 2 days yet.
No, I just got here. So I'm here. And woo! That's what matters. And I'm the co-host of Ghosts Are Everywhere. Cecilia.
That's it. O'Grady. That's there you go. That's nailed me. It.
I should have a I'm just spooky Cecilia.
Oh, that's not very good. You can have that one. You can keep that.
It has the alliteration. Scary Cecilia. Scary Cecilia.
Scary Cecilia. Ah, scared.
Did you like that? As you should be.
Ah, so scary. Well, friends of Before There Were Hashtags, friends of Ghosts Are Everywhere, thank you for joining us. This is going to be so exciting. We're going to tackle a real big topic today.
Oh, a big one.
Right? A doozy, an icon, a legend, a starlet, a tragic, a heroic figure to many people, someone a lot of people relate to, you know. I'm not sure why, but I guess they do.
I have a poster of her in my bedroom.
That's true. Eric loves her and I love her too, but I don't relate to her because I'm not blonde. We're talking the life and afterlife one, the only, let's say it together, friends,
Marilyn Monroe.
Oh no.
Oh my god.
Is that the title? I'm scared.
What did we get ourselves into?
Scary Cecilia is really bringing the scare today. I wasn't ready for that.
Spooky, guys.
Scary.
Spooky, ooky.
I'm going to make this stuff spooky.
Oh, oh. Well, because Eric co-hosts with me, the one, the only, a podcast that is all about, you know, blast from the past pop culture, he will be covering the life of an incredible talent that is Marilyn Monroe. And Cecilia,
we're doing it on Marilyn.
What did you come ready for?
I came ready to do it on Elizabeth Taylor. Oh, shit. Sorry. Damn. No. Kidding. Uh-huh. I should have said I did mine on Norma Jean Baker.
Same person. Good bit. Surprise.
Good bit. Spoiler alert.
And
came up a little late.
I did it on Carolyn Monroe. So. Hopefully it didn't get too mixed up.
Hopefully that translates well. And yeah, Celia and I are covering the afterlife or death. Ooh. Or hauntings or sightings, all of the above, of the one Miss Marilyn Monroe, baby.
Oh my goodness. Okay, yeah. Well,
we're jumping into Hollywood today.
Scary. Yep,
old Hollywood. Well, let's start with Miss Marilyn Monroe and her life. So I think it's important to say that Marilyn's a big subject and I'm probably going to miss quite a few points. And so if you are more knowledgeable on it, I recognize that, listeners, but here is the information that I got. Norma Jean, she was actually born Norma Jean Mortensen. She was born June 1st, 1926. But she, her mother changed her name to her husband's last name. So Baker, even though it is pretty unclear who Marilyn's father is, it was never discussed. There are some theories and conspiracies that her father was actually head of a big movie studio, but it is not confirmed. Getting my notes out. Here we go. I always forget podcasting is not a visual medium. So I always try and show things off in the Zoom call and then realize that our audience will not see that.
It's just a treat for us. They'll just be a treat for us.
You.
It's more exclusive.
Yeah. Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
We love it.
So her mother had a lot of mental illness growing up, and she never knew her father, of course. So Marilyn found herself in and out of foster care growing up, but her grandmother actually lived next door to her foster parents' place. But that led to her mother knowing where Marilyn was. And because of that, she would often come for visits, but things would happen. At one point, her mother kidnapped her and stuffed her in a duffel bag in order to try and get her away. Another time, her mother found out that Norma Jean had died, was told that she had died, and so knocked on the door, slamming the door, being like, "Let me in, let me in. Is she still alive?" And when she found out that Marilyn, of course, was still alive, she then tried to smother her daughter.
Yeah, so, her mother was unwell.
Her mother was unwell.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was later diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, and Marilyn then went into foster care. She would eventually originally she was at a place called, she was with a woman named Grace McKee. And when Grace McKee's husband, when they got married, because she got married later, Evan Doc Goddard, it is reported that he sexually assaulted Marilyn Monroe, and therefore she then moved out of that house and into an orphanage. And while she was at the orphanage, Marilyn would often say, "But my mother's not dead. I'm not an orphan. I'm not an orphan." Mm-hmm. But she couldn't live with her mother because her mother was not fit to raise a daughter at that time. Yeah. So, and then a way of getting out of the orphanage was actually that to get married, because she was 16 years old. So she was very, very young, and she married a sailor named, I hope I'm reading this right, but she married a sailor named Jim Daughtry, and she basically just married him to get out of the foster care system. She was 5 years younger than him, so...
Can we talk about how messed up that is? Like, the only way out for an old quote unquote old orphan in those days is to get married at a young age. Mm-hmm. That's messed up. That's messed up, man.
She got her start basically as a model, but how she was discovered was that she was during World War II, she was working in like a factory, and often photographers would come into the factories to take pictures of the women. That's where you get like Rosie the Riveter, sort of that idea. And it was to like boost morale because, of course, women were on the work front and creating a lot of the artillery for World War II and in the factories and all that stuff.
Good vibes on the home front.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So
kind of capture those vibes.
So yeah, so photographer David Conver found pictures of her, and he was like, "You're a star, girl." And then from there, sort of the rest is a little bit history. She gets an agent, and from there, she gets signed to 20th Century Fox. And yeah, and this is where sort of Norma Jean sort of dies, and Marilyn Monroe is born. So the name
She's not blonde yet.
Not blonde.
No,
yeah.
She's a brunette.
She got brown hair. So maybe I do relate to her after all, because she did have brown hair.
She was a brunette.
Relatable.
Yeah. So the name Marilyn actually comes from a famous Broadway actor named Marilyn Miller, who actually surprisingly died at the age of 37. So she was only 1 year older than Marilyn was when Marilyn would eventually pass.
What?
That's wild. And Monroe comes from her grandmother's side of the family. So her grandmother's last name was Monroe. And so that's where the name, the very famous alliteration name, because alliteration names sound really nice, Marilyn Monroe comes from.
That's right. That's why Creepy Carly sounds so good.
An evil Eric.
It's scary, Cecilia. Oh, no.
Or spooky. Spooky, scary Cecilia.
Spooky, scary skeleton Cecilia.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love it.
That's her full name. legal.
Spooky.
That's my driver's legal license. Name.
Yeah.
Spooky, scary skeleton Cecilia.
O'Grady.
O'Grady. I love it.
She drops the O'Grady when it's her stage name, though, because it's not a legal agent.
No.
So back to Marilyn. Back to murderous Marilyn.
Oh, sorry. Oh my god, I don't think she murdered anybody. Did she? No, unless there's something I didn't know about.
No, I just was trying to get her into the creepy feel.
Carolyn.
Yes, Carolyn Monroe.
Carolyn.
That's not an alliteration.
She already has alliteration and a regular name.
But if you change it to Scarolyn, it's no longer an alliteration.
Scarolyn
I hate that. Carolyn Monroe.
Skinrow. Okay. Come on.
Skinrow. That's scary.
Yeah, I'm it's supposed scared. To be.
I'm too scared.
That's
I'm
the whole not ready point, Carly. It's scary.
So I'm not ready for this. I'm too scared.
I'm going to put on a different light. My light is right behind my head.
Okay, come on, backlit. Backlit? That's funny.
That's funny. That is funny.
Thank you. I'm here. I'm
I don't get it.
I know.
All right. Well, back to Marilyn. Because back we've been distracted. Scarolyn.
That's right.
Her mother, but she, in a way, she kind of did kill her mother off because not literally, but her agency.
That is so scary for a second.
Her agency told her.
Eric's like, Marilyn Monroe killed her mom.
Is she writing history?
And that is a true crime podcast about how Marilyn Monroe killed her mother.
Plot twist.
Plot twist.
We all wanted a twist.
No, but she did tell the press because the studios and the agency thought that they didn't want her press of her mother being in a mental institution getting out. And therefore she would tell people that she was an orphan and her mother died.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit that they did then, especially where they like really hid like the truth that could, you know, that they thought would be bad for the studio from people. Yeah,
they kind of manufactured stars. They sort of
always.
Oh yeah.
They would change names and give them fake backstories because it totally just would sell better to the press.
I mean, they still do to some degree, but there's a lot more, you know, transparency with, you know, social media and stuff.
Gotta rework that image.
Right. And people aren't hired by this, like the studio. Like the studio years are way gone.
Yeah, the studio years are gone.
Old Hollywood.
In 1946, she signed to 20th Century Fox, but interestingly enough, they didn't really like her at first, and it took her 6 months in order to get her first movie, which by today's standards is not a lot, but to be signed to a studio and not be like
but not work
used
for, yeah,
and just kind of be observing and on the lot is that's pretty unheard of. And then it took her around 6 years to get her first like major star billing, which would be in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Because now she's blonde.
She is blonde, which of course has the iconic Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend scene where she wears the pink dress, and Madonna then of course did her version and Normani did her version for Birds of Prey. So that scene has been replicated many of times. It's replicated in Gossip Girl, replicated in, what is it? That I don't watch it. That Crazy Ex-Girlfriend show.
Is it Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Is it? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I've never seen it. She wears a blue dress instead of a pink dress in that one because I've seen the scene. I don't know. Sorry. Random thoughts from me. So she's always kind of typecast as the dumb blonde. However, Marilyn herself was actually a very smart woman and really knew how to conduct herself. But 20th Century Fox decided that like the dumb blonde narrative was really, really good for her. And they perpetuated this amongst like publicity and sort of made her in the press look like she really was that character. Sort of the same way Disney would do it. Like Hilary Duff was, she played a Hilary Duff in every, like Lizzie McGuire. The difference between Hillary and Lizzie were very thin to the public's eye. They really weren't the same person, but to us as viewers, they are. And sort of the same thing that sort of was originally created for like Marilyn and the stars of the 1950s and golden age is that they would really try to push this public persona that was exactly like the personas that they were playing on stage.
Totally. Yeah. They were like, you see her at her best. And this is what she is always.
Yes.
Look at her at home. She's just as fancy and hot. Like, that's what they're hoping.
And one story that I really love about Marilyn is that she was actually really good friends with Ella Fitzgerald. And in fact, clubs wouldn't often let Ella Fitzgerald sing because she was a Black woman. And in order for her to sing, Marilyn would often sit front row at the concerts so that...
Yeah, she'd call ahead and be like, hey, I'm coming. Please let that happen. And they're like, sure.
And that publicity.
Right? If Marilyn Monroe is at your club, come on, baby. You don't care who's on stage if you're a racist.
And Ella Fitzgerald was quoted as saying that Marilyn was ahead of her time and didn't even know it.
I love that. I think it's a really sweet relationship that they seem to have.
Yeah. So she trained also with Lee Strasberg, who is a very famous acting coach for many people, including James Dean. And he really encouraged sort of digging up using your past and encouraged Marilyn to go to psychotherapy.
Yeah. And that's, I think it's important to mention, well, I mean, you can't mention Marilyn and her career without mentioning Lee Strasberg, but she, while she was marketed as this like literal piece of human meat, she didn't like that. Like, she actively was like, I'm a serious actor.
Yes.
I got a brain, you know, like that kind of, you know.
Well, here she is getting training. You know, if she could get by on the dumb blonde archetype, she wouldn't, if that's all she wanted for herself, she wouldn't have to go out and get more. And I mean, you can say what you want about Strasberg method. I mean, there's different
methods.
It's messy.
It's not it. Like, it's not, you ask me. Yeah. that's me, me and my acting school brain going, that's bad. But
it proves
at the time, very popular.
She really was going for gold. Like, she wanted this. She wanted to be an actress. She didn't want to just be a movie star.
Yeah. But she was ready to do whatever it took to be better and to be the best, because she already was the best, you know, in the like marketing and looks department. And people were, you know, they kept trying to recreate her type, but they just couldn't, because she was it.
And also, we know now that Marilyn suffered from depression and anxiety during this time and often had substance abuse issues, including barbiturates, which is what would eventually take her life. Marilyn also suffered from, and I'm going to try and say this right, I apologize, medical people, you can call me out, it's fine. Picking up the sheet so I can really look at it.
Getting a good peek at it.
Endometriosis, which
endometriosis.
Yeah,
it sounds right.
When the uterus tissue grows outside of the uterus and around the female reproductive system, and it's a very painful disease. And so she was dealing with this throughout her entire time on film.
Yeah, it's like a chronic illness, essentially.
And because of this, the mix of the mental health and the physical health issues, she was often late to set and was a little bit irritable to work with. And therefore she kind of got labeled at one point difficult to work with. And
a nightmare.
Of course.
Of course. She's a woman who has a brain. She's difficult. She's hard to work with.
Well, you know, it's one of those things too. We just didn't have the understanding back then to deal with mental health, and that sucks. Like, really, mental health issues have really only in recent years come to the surface, which is awesome that they have, but it sucks how long it's really taken. Even like 10 years ago, right? Like, we weren't treating Britney very well 10 years ago. Here I am bringing up Britney, but I think there is a lot of parallels between Britney and Marilyn. But yeah. And now I'm going to go on to some of her relationships, because she was, of course, married 3 times. We've already touched on her first husband. So her second husband was, of course, Joe DiMaggio.
Hey there, sports fans.
Yeah. he was way more introverted than her. And that was kind of one of the main reasons why they didn't end up working out. And in fact, at one point, she told somebody at the studio about their wedding, and it was leaked where the wedding was. And this was like really, this was not what he wanted. Like, he did not want.
A bummer for Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. He did not want that attention. Yeah. And she, you know, she loved the spotlight. She really did. Because on their honeymoon in Japan, she was asked to sing for the troops in Korea. And so she left Joe DiMaggio by himself in Japan and flew to Korea to sing for the troops.
Legend. As she should. As she should. Yep. Goodbye, Joe DiMaggio. I'm singing for the boys.
She wants to support the troops.
Marilyn Monroe said support the troops. That might be the scariest part of the story so far.
Mm-hmm. Joe could have gone with her.
That's DiMaggio. True. Joe could have supported the troops.
Yeah, he could have gone Joe. With her.
Sing Maybe he could have sang for the troops. That's right.
What the boys want.
Boys want to hear Joe DiMaggio sing a little ditty.
Joe DiMaggio's golden voice.
And Joe DiMaggio hated.
Golden voice of baseball. Joe DiMaggio himself. We all know famously that before every game, he would stand on the pitcher's mound and sing to the crowds. So
sing, pick me up to the ball game.
Take me out to the ball game.
Yeah, the timber of 1,000 wolves. It was amazing.
Joe DiMaggio would sing Sweet Caroline before every game.
and he'd hold out the big microphone that's attached to 30 feet of rope, no, of like cable, because you know that's the day, and he'd hold it up for the ba ba ba's.
Yeah, and everyone would sing along.
It was such a joyous time. If only he had done that for the troops.
If only he had done that for the troops.
If only. Come on, Joe.
Wow.
Maybe they would have worked out. Joe DiMaggio hated the scene from The 7 Year Itch in which she's under the subway grate and the skirt
her dress
up.
Flies up.
It was, he hated that. He hated that other people could see his wife's legs.
Yeah, because he's like, that's my wife's legs. Those are my legs. Yeah.
And despite her claiming that he gave her emotional distress during the marriage, they, even though when they divorced, they stayed friends their entire life, and he would eventually plan her funeral.
Yeah, they just like, I think, didn't work as a couple because they just were different. They're just too different. And he was kind of jealous and she was fun. That's it.
Yeah.
That's essentially it. In fact, he even tried to remarry her at one point, but that didn't go well because we knew they weren't a match. She also would eventually get married to Arthur Miller. Her relationship with Arthur Miller started out as an affair because he was already married, which
saucy.
This isn't the first time. She has a few of these, but...
Because she's a saucy lady.
Yeah, and a lot of the men would describe their sort of infatuation with Marilyn coming from like a profound sadness that she has and like sort of a need to take care of her, which is... I'm a little problematic, but
it's a little predatory. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, a little of a weird thing to go for.
Now, yeah, that's not really it.
Yeah. Their marriage kind of started off on a bit of a rocky start because this is the start of the Red Scare. And Arthur Miller, of course, is wrapped up in the Red Scare. And for those of us that don't know what the Red Scare is, it's basically after World War II the start of the Soviet Union, Americans were really scared of communism and they were like, socialists are bad, no socialism. And so the House of Un-American Activities Committee was like hunting people out. They were, in fact, there's like famous stories of, I think it was like Jerome Robbins had to like testify and they basically threatened with him, with outing him as a bisexual man if he didn't do this. But that's another story for another day. When we do West Side Story, we can talk about that.
Well, people like, even like Lucille Ball came into fire. Like Lucille Ball at one point, because her, I think her uncle or something had signed up as part of the Communist Party to like appease him, for he was like really pro-communist and she didn't give a shit. She's just in showbiz. And people got really mad. And then basically when everybody ended up being like, she's fine. There's nothing more American. The only thing red about Lucy is her hair. And even that's fake. Like that was the big joke and the laugh. And then it was fine. But like, yeah, it was a real threat and a real scare during the Cold War. For sure.
And people are, the reason why Hollywood people and New York people were really being like targeted was that the government was afraid that they were slipping in like pro-communist messaging into movies and
like propaganda.
State shows and Broadway and stuff. So that's why playwrights and filmmakers were all being targeted during this time. But because Marilyn was, she kind of like helped him out by creating this sort of perfect image of a family and how beautiful she was. And because she was sort of the face of like capitalists. Like she was like beautiful and like used to sell products and used to
diamonds
sell
are
movies.
A girl's best friend.
That she
very that
kind of helped him out in like the testimony because he like appeared to be more American because she was the all-American girl, and therefore it sort of helped him out. Now it's interesting because she would write poems about while they were married. She wrote poems like love poems, but they would always ominously end with them breaking up or like saying that their love will one day end. So she sort of knew, I think, the whole time that he wasn't end game for her.
Yeah. I think the thing about Marilyn is she's
wanna be your end game. Sorry.
She always seemed very, to my, you know, understanding of her, she always seems very like self-aware. She's somebody who's very like, she knows what's going on, and she kind of really seems like, because she goes through, you know, these three different marriages at her different stages in life, she's kind of searching for this person to build like just a regular family. She just wants to be a regular girl kind of thing. And I think that's what a lot of people put on her. But I think she also just knows men are disposable, which I am obsessed with. And I think that's another reason why people love her. They're like, yeah. If Marilyn's unlucky in love, how can any of us be, you know, kind of the thing.
In the great song from Smash, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, only the kids next door. Sorry, Smash for anybody. Short-lived, Megan Hilty.
Any Smash friends?
Any Smash fans? I'm sure there are.
Crickets. It's crickets.
I liked it. It was interesting, but I liked it.
I never gave it a chance because I'm not that kind of theater kid. That's what I told myself then.
But Marilyn did the 1950s, 60s equivalent of going through your partner's texts. She read his journal.
Oh, girl. Yeah, not the journal,
don't
girl.
Do it, Marilyn.
Girl, not the journal of Arthur fucking Miller, girl. No.
Oh, just you girl. Wait. And in the journal, he said that she was a dependent waif.
Oh.
And that the only girl he could ever love, this is a quote, only one I'll ever love is my daughter.
That's fucked up.
So basically that kind of tanked the marriage eventually.
Arthur, you can't say these things.
Also, you can't write that down, bud, where anyone could read it.
No.
That's what I never understand about people who are like, just put these things out there. I'm like, someone could see that. Just keep it in the brain, in the dome, and no one will know.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
Don't tell people your shenanigans. Don't tell them.
Well,
you
he wrote
write
it.
That down.
He
you don't need to write that down, Arthur Miller. That's not going to make a great play.
I mean, well, I get it though. It was in a journal. It was in a journal. It was his private thoughts. She shouldn't have gone in there, but still.
Bad journaler because even my private thoughts of my journal are censored by my own brain in case someone reads them one day.
My goal is to have them read one day when I die. They're going to be in a museum.
Oh my God, you want them to be like Anne Frank style, like in a museum?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, famous diary of
in my own museum because I'm so famous.
Mm.
And there'll be archives of all these podcasts. So you're in it too, guys.
In the loop.
Friends,
oh my God.
Friends,
oh
my you're gosh, in yay. My museum. My
They're
future
listening
museum.
To it. They're listening to it in the museum right now.
Right
Someone
now, hello.
To this.
Right
hello,
now,
museum goers. Thank you for listening to this.
Oh my God.
So then she was also sort of she had some public slander from Fox because there was a few movies that she had pulled out of.
Because she moved to New York because Arthur Miller is a playwright and she was studying at the Actors Studio.
She moved to New York,
mm-hmm.
So on June 6th, Fox fired Monroe from a film called Something's Gotta Give and they sued her for $750,000 in damages, and they tried to replace her with Lee Remick, but the director refused because he didn't feel like he could make the movie with anybody other than Monroe, and Fox would eventually sue him as well, and the production was shut down. Eventually, they tried to sort of reconcile Fox and Monroe, and there was like settlements about new contracts.
Hollywood. difficult, contracts voided, mm-hmm. broken, yikes, Hollywood.
Please. On August 4th, 1992, Marilyn Monroe died between the times of 8:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m.
1992. You said 1992, I think.
Well, yeah.
You're stuck in the 90s, baby.
Yeah, I am the reincarnated Marilyn Monroe. She died and I was born.
You were born right away.
In 93. Sorry. Yeah. 1962.
Yeah.
Yeah, between the August 4th, 1962, between 8:30 and 10:30 p.m., cause of death was barbiturate poisoning, and it was determined that it was probably a suicide because it was like three times the lethal limit that was in her body, and she would have known that because she was taking these drugs regularly because they were prescribed to her, so it was pretty clear that it was a suicide. She is... If you want to, Carly, if you want to come in, because I know you love Marilyn's death.
Sure. I don't love Marilyn's death. I just Carly think it's really interesting. It. I'm obsessed with it. It's the only thing I want to talk about. No, I just know that there's a lot of conspiracy because she's such a huge public figure and beloved public figure and lost at such a young age in such a seemingly mysterious kind of way. There's a lot of speculation about her death and, you know, conspiracy thoughts and, you know, feelings and whatnot. It kind of the like it goes all the way to the top kind of feelings, you know. Yeah. Because of the people that she was involved with or not involved with, or you know, around, or what she could have known. So basically, Marilyn Monroe, this is going to be the fast and loose. Marilyn Monroe may, like, yes, very probably overdosed either accidentally or on purpose, and or she was murdered by the state. And or she was murdered by a family, and or she was, you know, just silenced because she was too hot to trot and knew too much, because she was somewhat involved with the Kennedy family.
Yeah, I totally skipped that. Sorry.
That's okay. There's so much to it. We didn't even get to sing happy birthday, Mr. President. There's just so much.
There's so much.
Yeah. So Marilyn, maybe she be fucking the president. She may be fucking the brother of the president. She may be, you know, having an affair with anybody. I mean, love that for her. I kind of hope that that's true, but also kind of don't, because they sound like horrible people, you know. Mm. And or people are like, the Secret Service killed her. There's a lot of people who are like, one of her windows were broken, but it was broken from the inside, you know, that kind of stuff. It was broken from the outside. I don't know. It was broken and it made no sense which way it was broken, because supposedly no one was there. So why was it broken that way? There's a whole bunch of stuff. And there's the housekeeper like changed her story. Why did the housekeeper, by the way, when she first, the housekeeper was who found Marilyn.
Yes.
And supposedly, and she found the first thing she did was call the doctor, and the doctor was the doctor that the studio assigned her, like gave yeah. her. So she didn't call the police, she didn't call, you know, the ambulance, she just called
ambulance.
I'm too hyped on this right now. She didn't call the ambulance.
Go off, Carly, go off.
She just called the doctor, who is also the person prescribing her all of these like suppressants and downers and keeping her, mm-hmm. you know, complacent. Why are they trying to keep her so complacent? Is it because they're trying to treat her mental illnesses, or is it because they're trying to keep her quiet? Because there's also, you know, some supposed like phone evidence and whatnot. There's a lot of records surrounding this that are not like available to the public, that are like sealed because, mm-hmm. you know, the government. And so folks kind of have to read between the lines a lot of times. This, in case you can't tell, I'm wearing my tinfoil hat right now, but I just like, there's so much to it that is really absolutely interesting. I love
goes all the way to the top.
Goes all the way to the top. Yeah, maybe she overheard something. Maybe she knew too much. Yeah. Bobby was like, no. And she was like, I'm going to go public. I'm going to tell them all. and then she was yeeted, you know? So yeah. I don't know. But it's very yeeted? Tragic, which we do know. They yeeted her.
It's
into
what all the kids are saying. Yeeted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her into yesteryear and said bye bye. I don't know. It's very interesting. There's a lot to it that I'm like, what's true, what's not true. It's all the things we love to talk about, which is like, this sounds like bullshit, but here, let's tell the story anyways. You know,
yeah.
It's really interesting and weird, and we weren't there, so we'll never know.
We'll never know. Yeah. So her funeral was held at Westwood Village Memorial Park Cemetery on August 8th. And it was a private ceremony, but it was basically there was crowds around as spectators around the street, around the cemetery, because she was such a beloved figure. And she was later entombed in crypt number 24 in the Corridor of Memories. And interestingly enough, the sort of, I don't know what it's called, cubicle, tomb next to her is held by the one and only Hugh Hefner. And this is kind of interesting because Hugh Hefner, of course, famously published pictures of Marilyn without her consent from when she was younger, and did a photo shoot those photos were never released. Very much like Vanessa Williams was. She was the original Vanessa Williams.
Except in Vanessa Williams's case, he learned his lesson and didn't do it because Hustler did it. Remember that? So weird how that, you know, times change or don't. But
Penthouse
did it. Yeah, it was Penthouse.
Hugh Hefner learns his lesson through Marilyn because he makes the mistake, and then Penthouse does it for
quote unquote mistake. That man made so much fucking money. I'm sure it was a mistake.
It
worked out for him.
Worked out okay for him.
It was like the issue that I think like set Playboy up for success.
Yeah. No, it literally was. It was like the big issue. If we were doing an episode on Playboy, that would be one of the first things we talked about, was there would be no Playboy without Marilyn Monroe. Absolutely. But we're not. And we don't care. We don't care about the creepy man, except for what Eric's going to tell us, because it's pretty gross. So go ahead.
Well, that was all that I was going to say.
Oh, you're not going to. But you're not talking about where Hef wants to be buried? Or is buried?
Oh, he is buried beside her. I said that.
No, I think that's the part you missed. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. To clear
that's
it
why
up,
you introduced
yes.
him. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
The crypt beside Hugh Hefner, beside Marilyn Monroe, is Hugh Hefner's crypt. So he is buried forever beside Marilyn Monroe, the woman that made him famous without her own consent.
So gross. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You might have mentioned it, but I might not have heard it because I just heard screaming in my ears. Because
Sorry, what?
Well, what? Eric already said it, and then Carly got him to say it again, but it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know if he said it because all I heard.
I did say it, Carly.
No, I was trying to say the screaming I heard was just because when I hear Hef's name, I just hear screaming.
Oh.
That's what I mean. Not because you're screaming in the Zoom.
Screaming of anger. I see.
No, I'm just I just hear I hear the name Hugh Hefner, especially when it follows Marilyn Monroe. Like I go that's what I hear. So,
and of
sorry
course,
for making you repeat it.
Of course, many films have been made about her life. Most famously, My Week with Marilyn, starring Michelle Williams, and the NBC hit show Smash with Megan Hilty and Catherine McPhee.
I love Catherine McPhee. Big fan. She's so cute.
And Bernadette Peters is in it. There's lots of crazy, fun people
in
that show.
It's very Broadway.
Jeremy Jordan.
Yeah.
Grace from Will and Grace. Whatever her name is, it's escaping me right now.
Grace from Will and Grace.
Grace from Will and Grace fame.
That's so terrible. I do know her name. That's Deborah Messing. Sorry.
It's Deborah Messing for sure.
Just going over my head right now. Okay, let's get to her ghosts because I've been talking for a long time and some of it is unintelligible, and Carly's gonna have a fun time editing me, and you can leave that fact in. Just give yourself a little credit.
No, it's good and it's great. I'm very excited to start us off with this next part. Unless Cecilia wants to start us off with this next part.
No, you go, girl.
Okay. Feel free to pipe on in, Celia.
Will do.
No, like in life, Marilyn continues to be incredibly popular in death. According to Scott Michaels, the founder of the Dearly Departed Tours and Artifact Museum in Hollywood, and I quote, "She is number one. She is the holy grail of ghosts."
Which I think that's is so pretty, crazy and fun.
It's pretty true, right? She like we only scratched the surface, Cecilia and I, of like the places that people claim to see her. Like, this is like a laundry list, but it's really, there's more. There's way more. And I'm sure it's around the world.
I barely scratched the surface of her life. So
I know.
There's so much.
There's just so much.
She's also someone that has definitely, she's come up before on the podcast when we've talked about like LA spots or a couple other, I don't know, like hotels and stuff in the States. Yeah. I was like, oh, by the way, there's another ghost of Marilyn Monroe. Like, she's everywhere.
Yeah, if you're a longtime listener of Ghosts Are Everywhere, then you share the kind of the in laugh at, oh yeah, of course Marilyn's here too, because it feels that way.
She's
because
here.
Like, she's everywhere. She really is just like the holy grail, but also really popular. So good thing that it seems like there's an abundance of places to catch the chance to see this coveted spirit, because if she's the holy grail, maybe there's a trough full. Like, there's a holy grail over here and here, a holy grail for you and you, and like, holy grail.
You get a holy grail. You get a holy grail. It's everybody gets a holy grail.
It's very that, because she's everywhere. She's a very busy girl. One of these
Marilyn
places,
is everywhere.
Marilyn is everywhere. Scarilyn, she's everywhere.
Scarilyn.
Aw. One of these places where you can see Marilyn is, of course, her home in Brentwood, California, where she died, which we went over with Eric just a second ago. Her ghost has allegedly been seen all over the property, from the garage to the pool and just about everywhere in between. Some have even captured her ghost-like figure wandering the estate in photos, which, I mean, for Marilyn, makes a lot of sense. Girl has never been scared of posing for a photo. She's into
it. She loves it.
She loves it, even in death. Another spot. What?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I just said, yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Another spot.
Very important.
It's very important. You got to be up on
Let your voice be heard.
Up on the comebacks, up on all of it. Another spot. Yep. Another spot her spirit has supposedly been caught on camera is at her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Still remember the Hollywood Walk of Fame? That's where people have been seeing her.
I do remember.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. We didn't see her.
No, we didn't see her star, and did we see her star? No, we did. Did we?
We might have.
We saw Julie Andrews, and I cried on top of it.
And cried.
That's right.
I don't know if we might have seen her star, but we didn't see her ghost.
We definitely didn't see her ghost. That's true. And that's fair to say, for the whole time we were in LA, not once did we see her ghost.
We didn't see anyone's ghost.
I know. What a shame. LA's haunted as fuck.
Yeah, next time. Whole trip.
Well, Cecilia, if we had seen the spirit of Marilyn Monroe, Eric, did you know that she appears as what people think is a pink mist hovering over her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
I didn't know that. Pink. Just like her dress in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Right? Like, also, but who's seeing pink mists? Like, that's amazing.
Pepto-Bismol mist.
Pepto-Bismol chic. Well, it's Marilyn's ghost, apparently. And many feel, like I said, the pink mist is the spirit of Ms. Monroe herself. If it is Marilyn, it makes sense why she's not camera shy and it's showing up for people. This mysterious pink mist has also been seen where she's buried, Eric, which you so aptly described for us.
Right now.
Marilyn is buried. Oh, sorry, silly, what?
Right next to Hugh Hefner.
Right next to Hef. Ugh. Marilyn is buried in Westwood Village Memorial Park, where visitors often kiss the marble crypt within which she is buried with bright red lipstick. They're like, let's give her a kiss. Mwah. It's here, among the flowers and the kiss prints, that many have seen this same heavy pink mist hovering, leaving many to conclude that it is in fact her spirit, because it's, you know, the other important place that she is. You know where else she's been seen? Silly, why don't you tell us where else she's been seen?
Oh, where else has she been seen? Let's see. Oh, dear. She's also been seen on the Santa Monica Pier. Another location that we've been.
That's true.
She's been seen sitting peacefully on a bench at the Hippodrome on the pier. But the most reported sightings in Maryland, which we've talked about in our LA episodes, have been in hotels.
Yeah,
Her ghost has been seen just about every notable hotel around LA and Hollywood, usually in the ladies' room.
Ooh. I don't know why. Because it's always a party in the ladies' room. That's what Brittany taught us in her Piece of Me video, that it's always a party in the ladies' room.
Always.
She's hanging out. She's putting on her makeup. She's letting people know. Girls will, like, go look at themselves in the mirror, and she just is like, you go, girl. You look great.
Yeah, she tells the other girls, you look so good. Oh my God, I'd die for you. That's what she says. Because that's what girls say to each other in bathrooms. That's not a lie.
Very supportive.
That's true.
Because ghost women support other living women.
We love ghost women supporting women. I actually covered one of these locations, like you mentioned when we talked about it. I covered the Knickerbocker way back in episode 9 of Ghosts Are Everywhere, called That's Showbiz, Baby. Almost 100 episodes ago now, because we're about, or on episode, 104, 105? Almost 100 episodes ago.
Yeah. Episode 9. That was a long time ago. Ages ago.
We were babies. At the Knickerbocker. Tiny children, who allowed us to have a podcast? That should have been illegal.
Oh no.
Well,
little tiny babies.
Tiny babies. So the Knickerbocker is where she indeed haunts the ladies' room as well. It's one of the places where you can find her in the bathroom. And the Knickerbocker is where her and Joe DiMaggio would often meet at the hotel bar, and allegedly even spent their honeymoon at the Knickerbocker. Not to mention, Elvis also stayed there in room 1016, and Rudolph Valentino haunts the bar. There's a lot to it. You can check it out.
Star-studded, yes.
The Knickerbocker, like, a lot of the hotels in LA have, like, probably 3 or 4 ghosts at least a piece. Like, yeah. And the Knickerbocker is a pretty good one. So if you are interested at all, check out that episode. Back to Celia.
She's also been seen in the El Capitan. But probably most famously in the historic Hollywood Roosevelt,
yes,
which is located
girl.
At 7000 Hollywood Boulevard. This hotel hosted the very first Academy Awards and was home to many silver screen stars like Humphrey Bogart and Montgomery Clift. Both lived there at one time. Marilyn Monroe stayed at the Roosevelt so often that she purchased a full-length antique mirror and had it placed in her favorite suite, 746, which is right above the pool. 246?
That's a 2. Yeah. It's squished. It's a 2.
Her favorite suite, above the 246. Pool. Above the pool.
Great. Love it. No, Cecilia and I are not sharing notes.
No, absolutely not.
What? What? You cheated? Stealing each other's notes?
And I'm very on the ball right now.
Carly, why did you steal Cecilia's notes?
I'm a thief. I'm a fool. It's me, the thief lord.
She, from all the way from Europe, did all this research, and you couldn't even get it together for that.
I couldn't. Call me Prospero. I'm the thief lord.
Oh, copy my notes. So rude.
I'm a copycat. That's what I like
weird
to be.
Thief lord reference. Okay.
I don't know where it came from. It came from deep within.
Like, where did that come from?
I don't know.
How did you remember that?
I don't know. It's in the top of my brain always. Never not thinking about Venice and the thief lord.
Yeah. So with so much Hollywood activity at the Roosevelt, it's no wonder that the hotel is apparently haunted. Employees report whispering and laughter throughout the hotel's empty bowling alley. And when they're closing the bar, they often hear a lot of whispering. There have been witnesses to ghost children.
Whisper.
ghost children playing in the hallways.
Ew! You know how I feel about ghost children if you've been around here for a hot 5 seconds. No!
Who let them out?
Who let their children run amok?
Who let their children run amok? Because they're ghosts now.
Who let the children out?
Who?
Ghost children.
The not ghost regular children. Away.
Regular children run amok are bad enough. These are ghosts.
That's right. This is even worse.
Oh my goodness. There's ghostly guests are seen swimming in the pool after hours.
I like that. They're rebels.
Yeah. They're like, fuck you. We don't follow the.
They're like, we're ghosts.
The pool. It's probably
there's
just,
no pool hours.
Maybe it's just.
We don't need a lifeguard. Guest. We're already dead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You can't drown if you're a ghost.
You don't need air.
Maybe it's just regular guests and they're really good at like getting out of the pool and getting away before anyone can really catch them.
Or maybe they're real guests that just like put a lot of like pale waterproof makeup on and they're like, it's me, a ghost. And people run, you know, away.
Exactly. Woo! They're just really good at like getting away.
Yeah, maybe maybe they like rattle some chains and they're like, that's definitely a ghost. But really, it's just
me, a ghost. That's
it's just
how
you and I, Cecilia, swimming in the pool.
That's how you get away with like sneaking into places. You just dress up like a ghost. Yeah. And if anyone catches you, you're like, ooh.
You go, ooh, I belong to your family. And then they run away.
It's the perfect crime.
It hurts no one and it's just stupid. The best crime.
There's also been sightings of a pianist wearing a white suit and quote, very old shoes, end quote.
I don't know why that's in quotes. It's just that was the article. They quoted specifically very old shoes. And the article that quoted that was specifically Britannica.com. And I don't know why.
Thanks, Britannica.com.
Thank you, Britannica.com.
Does it mean that their shoes were like old and like tattered and didn't match the rest of the outfit? Or was it just that they were wearing like an old timey outfit?
My guess is old timey outfit, but I like the idea of a head to toe crisp white suit, but like tattered, like holes in the toes, you know, weird people
just
shoes.
Really shitty shoes.
Just terrible shoes. Like maybe the reason this person died is because they died from bad shoes. Yeah. Cause of death. Very
bad
old
shoes.
Bad shoes. They were just so stinky. They like got to his brain.
Just one day they keeled over because the shoes are too old. Yeah.
Died for crimes against fashion.
Yeah. So he's been seen tickling the ivories on the hotel's mezzanine.
I love that for him.
And then also, remember Marilyn Monroe?
I do. I also remember that mirror that she bought.
Yeah, remember her and her mirror.
I remember her and her mirror. Mirror, mirror on the Marilyn. Yeah.
Marilyn.
Mirror.
All I needed was the Marilyn and the mirror.
Oh, another chorus line. That was a good one.
Thanks.
Marilyn
on the wall.
Marilyn on the wall. Well, after her untimely death in 1962, or maybe in 1992.
Stop!
1962, yep.
The hotel stored the mirror away until decades later during renovations. Employees uncovered it in the basement and they hung it in the lower lobby. Its origins had been long forgotten until Marilyn Monroe herself was started to be seen regularly in the mirror. She was often seen applying lipstick or primping her hair.
So cute. Just mirror things.
So she's also been seen dancing around the hotel.
Ooh.
Just fun. Not sure if she's doing that in the mirror or in suite 246 or somewhere else, but anyway, that's fun.
What type of dancing is she doing?
Whatever kind she feels like at the
ghost
time.
Dancing.
She's doing the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
Yeah.
Aww.
She loves
That's so nice. She loves it. She's really taken to it.
She loves it.
Dracula and his son.
She didn't do the Transylvania and twist.
His son. Whatever happened to the Transylvania
Whatever
twist?
Whatever happened to the Transylvania twist? It always come
she
up.
She did the mash. She did the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
Marilyn also.
Oh, I was going to say, I dare somebody to do that song as a monologue.
We've already done it. We've already done it.
In an audition.
I dare some of our listeners to do that.
The next thing
that you guys audition to for, I'm going to come along and I'm going to do an audition and I'm going to read them the monster mash.
Please.
The problem is if you walked into an audition room and I was behind the table and you started doing the monster mash, I would hire you on the spot. So
I'm going to become famous. I'm going to become an actor. I'm going to be the most famous actor just based off of my audition of just doing Monster Mash.
Yeah.
A dramatic like, reading. Did you hear this girl? Monster Mash. I was working in the lab late one night.
What's happening now? Okay.
When my eyes be up.
Who's your scene partner? Who are you talking to? What's your intentions?
I am talking to the audience.
Oh, it's a soliloquy. Okay.
I love that for you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a soliloquy. Very Shakespeare to everyone. Yeah. It's a style monologue.
Yes.
So it's an iambic pentameter.
Yeah, yeah. I was working in the lab one night.
That actually is.
You're excited, not quite.
But that's okay. Sometimes they're regular for a reason. So,
occasionally.
Happens.
My monster from his lab began to rise.
My monster from his slab began to rise. Yeah. And suddenly, to my surprise.
And suddenly, to my surprise.
Too many. Too few.
He did the mesh.
I failed my
He did the monster mesh.
I failed
he
my
He did the mesh. He did the monster mash. Is iambic pentameter.
He did the mash. He did the monster mash. The monster mash, it was a graveyard smash. The monster mash, it was a graveyard smash. Yeah.
No, he did the mash. He did the monster mash. The monster mash, it was a graveyard smash.
Oh.
He did the mash. It was the monster mash.
The mash.
The monster mash. I don't know.
Oh, no. Why is that Shakespeare? That's upsetting, but also amazing. Anyways, back to Marilyn, who we know does the monster mash. It's confirmed here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. That's the only place it's chants, y'all.
You heard it on Ghosts Are Everywhere.
You've heard it on Ghosts Are Everywhere podcast before there were hashtag ghosts.
It's a before there were ghosts are hashtags are everywhere.
Exclusive. Before there were ghosts are hashtags are everywhere. Podcast exclusive. You're welcome. The crossover of your dreams is continuing now. But that's not all. Marilyn Monroe also haunts a home in the Hollywood Hills that she once shared with her husband, Joe DiMaggio. He keeps coming up for a year. Mm. They lived there for a year, but she haunts this house, baby. Today, TikTok, I would say legend, and YouTuber Jasmine Chiswell, who is iconic for her vintage style and Marilyn-inspired looks, lives in the house with her husband, Maverick. And their dogs, and she's pregnant and gonna have a baby. So soon, their baby. I'm just staying on top of it because I like her. Okay, just want everyone to have all the details.
Gotta keep track.
Gotta keep track. Gotta know that I'm up on the things, and I am. So you're welcome. The home was built in 1938 in a Mediterranean style. It's 3,335 square feet, overlooks Runyon Canyon. So it's beautiful. It's like super nice, super adorable, very, yeah, like art deco-y because it was built in the 30s, but also it's like LA, it's very indoor-outdoor. These are the vibes. Like, it's an awesome house to be, like, young and hot in. Does that make sense? Like, we just got married, let's live here house, you know?
Yeah,
that's what it feels
beautiful.
Like to me, from what I've seen. So Jasmine says they do hear footsteps most nights, and it's only the two of them in the house currently, and have worked hard to rule all other options out. Like, they've had, like, realtors come by to check if there's, like, critters or if there's something weird, you know, like, everyone's like, no, it's fine, everything's regular, but they keep hearing footsteps for no apparent reason other than ghosts. And she also says that when their dogs go in the hallway, it's like someone's touching them and patting them, but no one is that they can see or that they know. In the beginning, the couple was scared of all of this, but now they're used to it. And they say that the energy doesn't feel bad. It feels happy, sort of comforting. So Jasmine, if you're interested in seeing more of this house, which I super was, that's how I found, you know, she got recommended to me on YouTube and on TikTok. And I was like, yes, I will watch this. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love her. She's also like super fun, super cool. She's originally from like Scotland, but she moved to LA. Anyways, super fun. And she like, yeah, she like looks like Marilyn Monroe. She's blonde. She like dresses very vintage 50s. Like, it's very cute.
Do you think Marilyn like joins her for some TikTok dances? You know, like they record together. Like Marilyn's doing some renegade.
Oh my God. That would be funny. Jasmine does tours of the house and dives into her paranormal and not so paranormal experiences living in the house to her 11 million TikTok followers and on her YouTube channel. And so we got a lot of our information today, Silly and I, from Britannica.com, like we said, from Jasmine Chiswell on her TikTok, her YouTube, stuff from her, basically just stuff from my brain and from having watched her stuff, which is amazing. Muse.vice.com, as well as HollywoodReporter.com.
Yeah, I got a lot of my, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I got a lot of my information from the Illuminati YouTube channel, as well as Miss Mojo YouTube video, and also of course the Marilyn Monroe Wikipedia page helped me out a little bit to fill in some of the gaps.
Classic. Love the Illuminati. So good. Such a great channel. This last story that we will leave you with is one that I didn't know until today when I was finishing up my research, but I'm very excited about it because it has one of the stars of one of my very favorite TV shows currently on TV right now. It involves her, which I'm obsessed with. It's really cool. Celia, do you want to tell the story? Do you want me to tell the story?
I can tell this one.
Do it.
Okay. So
the star of Dickinson herself.
Star of Dickinson. Yes, our babe show.
Her babe show.
Haley Steinfeld, we stand.
Yes. We stand a legend.
She, back in 2018, was recording new music in a studio that just happened to have once been Marilyn Monroe's apartment.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
So normally in a studio, there's like a window to see the engineer, but in this one, there was only a camera feed to the engineer who is around the corner.
So she told this story on Kelly and Ryan, first of all. And so this was from just like that interview.
Okay, so yeah, her phone was in front of her. She went to put her phone down to record, and she felt a rush of air, and in front of her, in quotes, looks like if you smeared white paint with your hand across a black poster board. She finished recording the song because she is a professional, and then she asked them to pull up that take of the track, and right before she sings, all you can hear is like a big whooshing noise going across. So
yeah, Marilyn, she described it like whoosh, like a big like gust, like how she felt it.
Mm-hmm.
But they, I guess when they were recording it, they didn't pick it up.
Yeah, but then when they like played it back later, they could hear it. So Marilyn Monroe's ghost might be featured on a Haley Steinfeld song.
Right.
I love me. Gonna love myself. No, I'm not gonna love anyone else. Featuring Marilyn Monroe.
Featuring Marilyn.
Marilyn loves me. It's just funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because also Haley was like, yeah, it also definitely isn't me because it's right before she sings. And she's like, what singer goes, ah, and then sings?
Yeah.
Like, she's like, no, it wasn't me. Clearly, I was the only person in the room and it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So what the heck is that? Pretty cool. Pretty cute. And it's interesting that she like describes this kind of like mist vibe because Marilyn's described as a mist a lot. That's weird. Yeah.
She's a misty lady.
Misty Marilyn Monroe.
She's a maid of the mist.
She was the original maid of the mist herself, Marilyn Monroe. Oh, good for her. And that's Marilyn, baby. That's the tip of the Marilyn iceberg.
Spooky.
Spooky.
Scarilyn.
Yeah, I'm more like More like Scarilyn Monroe. Like
Scarilyn Monroe. Am I right?
Scarilyn Skinrow.
Am I right?
Scarilyn Skinrow. Our favorite ghost.
Am I right, ladies? Oh my goodness. Well, y'all, what a good time. This has been such a fun dang crossover.
Can we end with some?
We got to do a bit of both.
Halloween pop picks.
Sure.
Ooh, in the tradition of, we can do that.
In the tradition of before there were hashtags, we're going to do our pop picks of the week.
Okay.
Which are just Halloween pop edition. Culture that we like. Halloween edition. Absolutely. Eric, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Laganja Estranja has released a song called Poison Ivy, and Dang. The music video is everything, and the song is lit. So go check out Poison Ivy by Laganja Estranja.
Love that.
Spooky.
Celia?
Oh, I'm not prepared for this. Carly, you got anything?
Let me think. Oh yeah, okay. I watched this last night and it's still great. Watched it last year, watched it again this year. Holds up real good. Hubie Halloween, baby.
Yay!
It's on Netflix. Eric and I watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
Celia is a Hubie Halloween stan, a well-documented Hubie Halloween stan. It's just great. It's just fun. If you want to see all the comedy legends that you love doing a Halloween themed movie. Set in Salem for no reason other than they're doing a Halloween movie set in Salem. It's the best.
Why not?
Okay, and Adam Sandler. So we love
on that note, I'll stay on your wavelength there.
Oh.
And talk about Adam Sandler's other Halloween theme.
Come on, yes, do it.
Franchise, which is the Hotel Transylvania series.
The trilogy, if you will.
The trilogy, soon to be four, but yes. The fourth is
without Adam Sandler.
No Adam Sandler involved. Yeah. So
we don't know how we
maybe
feel
not.
About it.
I don't know about that. But the first three, all of them are iconic.
Incredibly iconic. Every night so far this week, I've watched a different one to fall asleep. Today is number three. So it's always good.
They're great. Three is maybe my favorite one.
Three is so
one
silly.
Cruise.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. But
there's
amazing.
No reason for it. It makes no sense.
It's the best.
They live in a hotel. Why are they going on a vacation?
Yeah, but they
why
go
are
on a
all
cruise
of them going on a cruise?
What don't they all go to the hotel to you know like get away? No, apparently they all are always at the hotel. Except that's not the premise
cruise,
they set up in the first
all together.
Few, but they all went to a cruise. I'm obsessed. It's the best thing in the world. Okay. There's nothing better.
Love
and
it.
It's so funny and it's so dumb and it's great. I love that, Celia. I love your pick, Eric, too. We love Laganja. Come on, season six. Let's get scarying.
Come on, Spooktober. Let's get spookying.
Yeah. And obviously, Hubie Halloween is supreme and Hotel Transylvania times three can't be beat.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end.
I think that brings us to the end of this sweet, sweet crossover.
Wow.
The one you've been dreaming of and asking for. You're welcome. Here it is.
We did
You're
it.
You're welcome.
And in the midst of spooky season, to highlight the good times, the Halloween vibes, couldn't have picked a better group. So hooray.
Well, I hope everybody has a happy Halloween and have fun. Be safe. And we will see you next week on our respective podcasts.
We shall.
We shall see you soon on both of our podcasts. Goodbye.
Happy Halloween.
Halloween is upon us. You be Halloween. Okay, bye. I just want to congratulate you on still being awake. So, congratulations.
Congratulations. Remember.
We're back on our bullshit. Marilyn
Bless
is
you.
Oh, thank you.